Well, greetings, brethren. We made a nice trip down to Prestonsburg this morning, and I'd like to extend greetings from our brethren down there. Welcome to any guests we have and any of those listening on Cybercast. Brethren, welcome to the Feast of Pentecost. What a blessing it is for the members of the body of Christ that our Father has blessed us with this special holy day. The meaning of this day is essential for God's people. It is the day He founded the New Testament church, the day He made His Holy Spirit available to it. Years ago, I used to work with a gentleman who was a devout Catholic, and we got in a discussion about religion one day, and he said, Now, Forrest, you know, Catholic Church is the oldest church that there is. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, well, when was your church founded? He goes, I can't remember exactly what he said. It was around 1100 or something like that, B.C. He said, when was your church founded? I said, 31 A.D. And he goes, no, that can't be right. So, you know, people don't want to hear that there's something else out there. Christ told his disciples that he had to go to the Father so he could send a helper to give to them and to give to us. Let's go to John chapter 14 and we'll read verses 15 through 18. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 18. Christ told the disciples, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The Spirit of truth is God's Spirit that He gives to each of us at baptism. Our Father gives us freely His Holy Spirit, and He expects us to produce fruits in our lives. We are to use His Spirit in us to overcome our carnal human nature and to develop into the member of the God family. Christ again reassured His disciples that He needed to leave so that He could send His Spirit to them. Let's go to John chapter 16. We'll start in verse 5. If you're looking for titles, I entitled this, How Does God's Spirit Help Us in Our Spiritual Journey? John chapter 16 and verse 5. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Christ was doing everything he could at this point to encourage his disciples and to show them that they were not going to be alone. But he was giving them the reason why he had to leave. Let's pick it back up in verse 8. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you will see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you in all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things the Father has are mine. Therefore I said, he will take of mine and declare it unto you. Christ then goes on to tell them to wait, because the Spirit hadn't been given yet. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, we'll read verses 4 and 5. Acts 1 and verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me." For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. He was letting them know that when he left, he was going to send his Spirit to be with them and to be in them. Now, at this point in time, they didn't understand. We're not going to read that. But they didn't understand that he wasn't going to restore the kingdom at that time. But if he'd have said to them, "You know what, guys? You're going to be dead and gone, and there's going to be hundreds of years go by before this thing is wrapped up." That would have been very discouraging for the disciples. But you know what? That's not what God's purpose is. It wasn't for them, and it wasn't for us. He's doing everything he can to encourage us and to keep us on track and to keep us moving forward. Like I mentioned earlier, at this point in time, God's Spirit hadn't been given to them. But you see, he had it all planned out on just how he was going to do that. God has a plan for everything. Let's see why this is important. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll read verse 10 through 12. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. They needed God's Spirit so he could reveal knowledge to them, just like we do today, brethren. It is through his Spirit that his will is revealed in our lives. Let's drop down to verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are not spiritually discerned. You see, without God's Spirit, his way of life seems foolish to the carnal mind. I don't know how many times in jobs that I've had over the years, people have come up to me and said, "You know what? You're a really nice guy, but you sure have one weird religion." But you know what? That's okay. God wasn't working with them. God wasn't calling them. That's why the gift of the Spirit is so important to us as members of the body of Christ. After repentance and baptism and the laying on of hands, God gives us his Spirit. Now let's go to verse 16. For who knows the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You see, Christ gives each of us a portion of his mind so he can work with us and allow us to grow in grace and knowledge. Apart from his Spirit working in us, we wouldn't understand anything. This day we are celebrating is such a wonderful blessing. How blessed we are to be sons and daughters and for the gift of his Spirit. The Holy Spirit imparts in our hearts and minds the ability to develop the very nature of God. Let's look at that in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter 1, verses 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have attained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord and of Jesus our Lord. As the divine power has been given to us, all things that pertain to life and goodliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given us exceedingly great and precious promises, that though these things you may be partakers, or through these things you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. His divine power has given all things that pertain to life and goodness through the knowledge of all of us who have been called. Brethren, we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises. God doesn't promise something that he can't deliver on. There's nothing that God does or God says that he cannot deliver on. He can deliver on anything. He's provided a way for us to qualify. The question we must ask ourselves is, am I willing to yield and follow his lead? Is there anything standing in my way that is preventing me from fully following his lead? God's Spirit gives us the power to overcome. It is through his power, not ours, that we overcome our very nature. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But that's where the strength comes from. It comes from Jesus Christ. Brethren, he's ready and willing to help us in every way. Through the power of his Spirit, we don't have anything to fear. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. Second Timothy 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Submitting to God and being led by his Spirit takes the fear out of life. It gives us power to deal with the trials that we face. It gives us love, compassion. It gives us a sound mind. God gives us his Spirit to overcome our faults and our own nature. It leads us into how to develop the mind of Christ in us. As we study and pray and meditate and fast, it grows just like seeds that we plant in our garden. And you know what? God expects us to not only grow, but produce fruit. And he wants us to produce lots of fruit. God's Spirit leads us if we are willing to let him. So we can be in his kingdom with him and be his children. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by which we may call out, Abba, Father. We need to develop the kind of relationship with our dad that we can call him Abba, Father when we address him. The definition of Abba is where we address God in a relationship of personal intimacy. The Father is not only all-powerful, he didn't create everything and has everything, but you know what? He's also Dad. As we are led by the Spirit, we can experience the intimacy of a father-child relationship, and that's what God wants with each and every one of us. Let's go to Matthew 22. Matthew 22 and verse 37. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Christ tells us that we're to love him with every fiber of our being, which is the same way he loves us. Just look at the elaborate plan that he and Jesus Christ planned out for us to qualify to be with him in his kingdom, even to the point of giving his life for us to provide a path to make that possible. He did this so he could share everything with us. Think about that for a moment, brethren. God owns everything. Everything you see, feel, and touch, he owns. But guess what? He's not greedy. He doesn't want to keep it for himself. He wants to share it with us, to give us a part in everything that he is. Brethren, we must do our part. He even gives us a part of himself to be able to accomplish this goal. How loving a father we have to give us a deeper understanding that he gives us through these annual holy days, like the day we're celebrating today. Let's go to John chapter 14. John 14 and verse 15. We touched on this earlier, but I want to come back to this because it's an extremely important point. If you love me, keep my commandments. Christ tells us if we love him, do what I'm telling you to do, to follow what he's asked us to do, like he instructed us in Deuteronomy. In the book of Deuteronomy, in the blessings and cursings chapter, what does he tell us? I set before you this day life and death. Choose life, that you may have life and have it more abundantly. He doesn't want us to have to suffer. That's the decision we have to make. God does everything he can to get us to the point that we choose life. John 15 and verse 13. Greater love hath no one than to lay down one's life for his friends. And what did Christ do for us? That's exactly what he did. He laid down his life for us. Let's go back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Imagine, while we were still living a sinful life, what a tremendous amount of love he has for us. It demonstrates the level of commitment and compassion and the planning that has gone into our calling. How much he wants us to be with him in his kingdom. They've put a lot on the line for us, brother. We need to be just as committed. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. Over one page in my Bible. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. God's Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. It fills the gaps. Sometimes when we don't even know what to ask for. The more we study, the more we pray, the more of his Spirit he gives us, which in return helps us to have and more develop of the mind of Christ. Remember, brethren, all peace and comfort comes from our Father. It is through his Spirit that we are able to enjoy a father-son relationship. Let's go to Philippians 2. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We want the mind of Christ to lead us in all that we do. Our Father gave us the Feast of Pentecost and used it as a means of delivering His Spirit to the New Testament church. He knew they needed the extra help. Guess what? So do we. Then, as people get baptized and have hands laid on them, He continues today to provide that same Spirit to us. And we don't have to wait for the day of Pentecost. As soon as someone's baptized, they have hands laid on them. And God's Spirit is given. You see, brethren, God doesn't call the mighty to His work. He chooses the weak and the base things. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and verse 26 and 27. First Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 27. For we see your calling, brethren, that not many wise are called according to the flesh. Not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. You know, that's reminding me years ago when we used to play baseball all the time. You know, you'd have your team captains line up. And they'd have a bunch of people out there line up. And the captain would go, oh, that guy can hit the ball really strong. He's really strong. I want him. And then I want this one. And you get down to the last one or two, sometimes three people. The one captain looks at the other and it says, I don't want any of them. You can have them all. But you know what? You know what God says? I'll take them. I'm going to take those people, and I'm going to use them. I'm going to give them my Spirit, and I'm going to show you what we can accomplish by working together. Our Father wants each and every one of us, and He wants us to be there, and He's giving us His Spirit inside of us to be able to develop that and to grow. Our strength comes from our loving Father. On our own, we can't do anything. You see, God took the misfits, the ones no one else wanted, and He's working with them to be in His kingdom and have the opportunity to live forever. Let's go back to John 15, verse 5. John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And that's what we have to realize, brethren. It's through Christ. As we're attached to that vine, we draw our strength from him. He wants us to bear much fruit. For many, many years to come. He wants us to develop and grow to where we yield so much that He's going to be able to use us in ways we can't even imagine. But you know what? It's through His Spirit that we can accomplish this. What a blessing this day is for each and every one of us.